claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Vaffanculo. History is made. And now, the event.
Well, we're certainly delighted today to have as our featured guest a dear friend of mine who's done brilliant work abroad on a wide range of subjects. He's a historian of science primarily. He contributed to the Encyclopedia of Astronomers, the entry on Isaac Newton, easily historically the most important figure. He's also an expert on false flags. His book, Terror on the Tube, is sensational. Crack the case. Where he discovered that the train from Luton, on which the four young lads had been enticed to participate in the drill, would have had to take to be at the tube stops in time for the explosions, which took place as scheduled according to the drill. He also has published chronicles of false flag terror about 13 fake staged events in Europe and across the scene in a book that's highly explosive about the life and death of Paul McCartney. Nick, I'm so delighted to have you here with us today. We know you have a commitment. That means you're only here for an hour. We want to take full advantage of that. My friend, welcome to the event.
Hello, Jim. And it's great to meet your other distinguished guests here. I look forward to our discussion. Yeah.
Nick, I think we have to begin with a perception from Europe of what's going on in Ukraine. The divergent views are hugely different. I have an interview with a friend from Armenia, now residing in South Dakota, who believes that Putin is a globalist, that this is all prearranged. Well, I have an alternative, Joaquin Hagopian. I'm just publishing a piece on my blog suggesting Ukrainians are welcoming the Russians as, you know, liberating the nation. The demonization of Putin has given Joe Biden an excuse not to focus on the calamities here in the United States, but where it's overwhelmingly obvious he cares more about the border of Ukraine than he does of the United States. Your thoughts, yeah, my friend?
Well, Russia today has just vanished from the airwaves this afternoon, like they said it would, and that was the one, you know, the one decent TV program, really. I've been very pro-Russian over the years, and I think Putin has really tried hard to get friendship between Europe and Russia. And Britain and America have set up sets of events, I've noticed, over the last 10 or 15 years, always to try and blame Russia. And the book I've just been doing recently, I'll just show it, it's about false stories of poisoning with Novichok, with Skripal, and allegations that Russians were poisoning people, which I don't think were sound. So it's as if now he's being cast as the Bond villain, you know, how wicked he is. And nobody here tries to look at the Russian point of view. Why did the Russians go into Ukraine on 22-22? Why did they storm in? And particularly, interest, from our point of view here, how come it was predicted all through December and January, all the media, what Joe Biden said and Zelensky said the Russians are going to invade. I said maybe in January. And people were bewildered by this. Why does anyone think the Russians will invade Ukraine? And how did they, how could they, and they were totally definite this was going to happen. And I don't think, for example, Lavrov had any intention of Russia invading Ukraine. And then we saw what happened in February. The bombardment of eastern Ukraine, Belarus and Lugansk, these two self-declared independent republics, the shelling, which has gone on for 8 years, which is systematic genocide of a people, these are racially different from the rest of Ukraine. Okay, they're basically Russians, they're Slavs, and that bombardment was intensified, and partly because Joe Biden gave $3 billion of lethal aid to Ukraine, you know, recently. And so they've got more terrible weapons with which to shell these self-declared republics. And this is it's just shelling of villages, of people. And in those republics, most people who can afford to leave have left, fled. They've had hundreds of thousands of refugees flee to Russia, you know. And that was intensifying. I was watching a program whereby women and children were being told to leave, go to Russia, and the men were staying behind to fight. And that basically precipitated the Russian invasion. The Russians couldn't just stop and do nothing. They had to come in and demand what was supposed to have happened 8 years ago. Okay, they signed the Minsk Treaty. 2014, which co-signed by France and Germany, and that was a peace formula. Okay, it was to stop the bombardment and agree to exist as one country, but with some degree of independence of these eastern little mini states. They're too small to really exist by themselves, and Europe didn't lift a finger to enforce that treaty. But they made no effort to enforce it. And that is why we're in the catastrophic situation now. So I would say that is why Putin did it. And the amazing thing, and you ask about European response, is that it takes absolutely no notice of this. The ongoing genocide, it's an ethnic cleansing process. We only hear about it in Russia Today, the Russian TV channel. OK, I don't know. You in America, you probably don't hear about it at all. I mean, it's been estimated about 15,000 people have been killed by the shelling in the eastern Ukraine. Recently, after Russia recognized these two mini states, apparently a million people from those two states have applied for Russian passports. So it's a process of destroying a whole culture. And that part of eastern Ukraine was the industrial hub of Ukraine. It was I think it was the most affluent part. There was a whole lot of high-tech industry going on there until 2014. That was when the catastrophe, this far-right Nazi government, neo-Nazi government took power, which started from then on. It's been shelling its own people, okay? And this process is amazingly unreported in our media. I don't know if you hear about it at all, Jim.
Pretty much not, Nick. I think you're absolutely right. The American media is so totally controlled. It's nothing but endless propaganda, anti-Russian propaganda, yeah. The desire to change the focus from the State of the Union here in America to the state of the world, namely Russia, Ukraine, where the history here suggests that this ought to be known as Victoria Nuland's War because of the coup that was executed in Ukraine by Victoria Nuland in 2014 to depose a pro-Russian president and replace him with a Western stooge. Yeah. And where I agree with you 100%. I've been very pro-Russian myself. I admire Vladimir Putin. And he has been protesting the endless violations by NATO and the West to the solemn agreements entered into when the Soviet Union dissolved. Yeah. Where then Secretary of State James Baker guaranteed the West would not encroach one single inch to the east which we grossly violated. I think the morality, legality, and history are all on the side of Putin.
Yeah. I mean, we're coming up to a lot of people see World War III. If you've got more and more NATO hardware, military hardware, right up against the border of Russia, and you've got rockets targeting Moscow, just a few hundred miles away, this is a totally unstable situation. I mean, if we want any peace in Europe to exist, we've got to have neutral states, a whole lot of little mini states on the border of Russia, that used to be part of the old, something called Warsaw Pact. That was the opposite of NATO. And that was a sort of buffer states. And we need buffer states that are neutral, that are not pro-American, pro-NATO, and not pro-Russian. And it seems to me that if Europe's going to survive this, avoid the through machismo of NATO, that we need something like that. And the question is, what Russia wanted was for Ukraine to exist as an independent state in between East and West. And that would be a kind of peace formula. That's what we had until 2014. So it's a question now. We had, Putin did this. He came in to rescue these two states. A whole lot of Russian troops went into those two states. And then it seems to me that, seems to many people, that he overreached himself. He's storming right across Ukraine now to Kiev, the capital city. And that's not really allowed under international law, okay? Under international law, invading a sovereign nation, your neighbor, and going right across the capital city, apparently, we don't know quite what the war aim is. This is a terrifying thing. You don't know quite what it is the Russians are wanting to do, because are they not going beyond the original stated war aim, you see? That's what everyone's bewildered by. And I think that's why Russia received such universal condemnation around the world. I mean, we had a Security Council vote a few days ago, which was 11-1 against, with China abstaining. And I think a General Assembly resolution is coming up that will be, you know, the whole world is going to condemn Russia. In fact, in our lifetime, have we ever seen the world so unified as it is now, with everyone condemning what Putin's doing? It's as if Putin has made this mistake of overreaching himself, although we sympathize with his motive. But has he not gone too far in wanting? I mean, just listen to what he said his war aims were. He wants to denazify the government of Ukraine. Well, I mean, that's not a legitimate war aim, is it? Especially if you've got a couple of Jews running the country. he then said he wanted to hold a trials for people who are criminally guilty, or he wanted to have a neutral country. Well, you can want these things, but you can't achieve that by, you're not allowed to achieve that by invading a sovereign state. Although I appreciate Britain and America do it all the time. So I can't see he's got an exit strategy. I think this is the ghastly situation now. The Russians have moved in. They're storming across the whole of Ukraine. And all the world is supporting Ukraine. I can't see how Putin can win this one.
Scorpio, let me bring you in right away here with our dear guest. Your thoughts. Scorpio.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you. Well, Nick, I think we talked once before some time back. Nice to meet you and talk with you. You know, my take on this is a little different. First of all, I think that the level of deception from all sides we're seeing on this is really hard to unpack. I'm having a real problem with even believing that Russia is actually invading or about to invade Kiev. I don't see any credible signs of this.
Okay, right.
I think we're being led down the primrose path, and I'm not seeing any indication of a real fighting war going on anywhere other than maybe in the eastern portion of the country. So I'm just staggered by what's going on. And, you know, this so-called, you know, world unity, seems awfully orchestrated as well. You know, I was driving down the freeway last night near Los Angeles, and I saw a big, you know, illuminated, you know, billboard saying, "We stand with Ukraine." So, you know, this whole thing seems like a show to me. And unfortunately, I'm beginning to think that Vladimir Putin somehow is part of this deception. And this is a huge attempt to essentially destroy the economies of the West and really slow the economy down worldwide and do some serious damage to the real economy. And then spur on the need for green energy. I mean, if they remove Russian oil and gas from the market, we're going to see incredibly high gas and oil prices. This is going to be mind-boggling. So what are your thoughts on this? Because I'm just not seeing any real indication of a real war happening. You know, I'm just not. So maybe you could comment on that.
Yeah, well, I do see that. There's lots of reports in the news of Kiev, this and that. But other people say, no, this just isn't happening. As you say, it's terribly difficult to ascertain. There's supposed to be a whole load of Russian tanks driving along the main highway or about to reach Kiev. But, I mean, who knows? But there certainly is an extraordinary orchestration of fake images and bogus pictures, which I suppose is just part of the modern world. We expect that with anything to do with Britain and America, don't we?
Yes, and Nick, you know, the other thing that I'm seeing that's just really strange is they keep showing, the Russians are bombing this city and that city, and I'm not seeing any direct hits on the buildings. I'm seeing damage, but, like, if you're really, I mean, the Russians aren't stupid. If you really want to blow up something, you do a direct hit and pretty much level the whole building. I'm just seeing buildings that have some minor damage to them with lots of rubble out in front, and there's always lots of burned cars put out in front of the building as well. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not sure what to make of all this, but I'm not buying the narrative at all on either side.
No, well, I think we need to focus on the one thing that is kind of supremely important here is an ongoing genocide. And that really, really is happening. And if you walk down Donetsk or these bombed out towns in the east, you see all the shattered, broken, homes, churches, public schools, public buildings, and a few old people still there who can't afford to leave. This really is the destruction of whole culture. And it is so extraordinary and amazing the way the West has just decided to gloss over this and just let it happen and make a hero of the government admire the government that's doing it and supply arms to the government while it's still doing this. All the prattling about human rights is just allowing this to happen. I could just point out a sort of subtle legal argument here. If a small bit of a country votes to be independent, it can't just have a vote and then break away. That's not allowed, okay? Like Texas couldn't just vote to be succeeded for America, could it? for example, if Scotland voted to be independent of England, of Great Britain, the United Kingdom, it could, right? If it had a vote for independence, that would be recognised because Scotland long existed as an independent nation entity before it became part of the United Kingdom. So it will be allowed to separate. And the same goes for Crimea. Crimea was, you know, for 100 years, it was a federation not affiliated with Ukraine. And that is why, if you accept that, it was legitimate for it to vote to become separate and rejoin the Russian Federation. That seems to me a legal, legitimate point of view. And let's bear in mind that the main government, Kiev, is cut off all electricity and water and gas and finance from these eastern republics. Okay, there's no pensions, no social security. There's just a barrier, and the only thing that the main government is providing is shelling the country. So, de facto, the main Kiev government was treating these mini states as being separate. It wasn't treating them as part of the same country. So, from that point of view, they've got a perfect right to declare themselves independent. And the other thing is that the Minsk agreement, that was the peace formula 2014, that was co-signed by these two little states, republics. And they argue the fact that they got to co-sign this international treaty means that their independence was recognized. Does that make sense? So from that point of view, Russia then recognized them quite recently, immediately before. And from that point of view, they have got a legal right to declare that they are independent people's republics. And then obviously immediately Russia recognized them. They then invited Russian troops in. Okay, so legally, it was not an invasion. It was Russian troops being invited in by these two little mini states. And I think that was all perfectly legal and actually rather admirable. You know, normally we're always used to Russia being very scrupulous about international law and adhering to treaties, seems to me. Someone like Lavrov, you know, Sergei Lavrov, is very scrupulous about treaty adherence. So that's why it's rather baffling what Russia seems to be doing now. They're becoming the bad guys. And the Nuremberg Principles, 1947 or something, they define a war of aggression as being the worst crime. They tried to define it as the worst international crime of all, they said, a war of aggression. And everybody seems to feel what Russia's doing now looks like a war of aggression, storming across Ukraine. If you admit the fact that they're there to try and rescue these Slavs, the whole culture of eastern Ukraine, then it does look like a war of aggression, doesn't it? I mean, from one point of view, Ukraine is a country that I'm not sure if it should really exist because the two sides of it are so different culturally, the east and the west. You know, can they really get on together?
Giuseppe.
Well, Dr. Kallstrom, I'm a huge fan of your work. In fact, this guy wrote a book, Breaking the Spell. That's what we need. That's what we need now, I think, because it seems like the average citizen of the first world is entranced by just watching this. I mean, you're probably familiar with that famous movie of, 20 years ago called Wag the Dog, where essentially Robert De Niro and I think it was Dustin Hoffman, they essentially created the fake war on TV that everybody believed. And this appears to me to be Wag the Dog 2, the sequel.
Right.
So, but none of this makes sense, just like you're outlining, unless you pull back and look at the globalist, the Rothschild control of this world via the globalist media, control of their traitorous operatives in every first world government, and you pull back and you see, well, how does this relate to the so-called Great Reset, the Build Back Better with the small Bs as sixes, 666, the New World Order, so that the big push that began in earnest a little over 2 years ago. How do you relate Putin's actions to that idea that this is all part of the same psyop by the World Economic Forum, which are the operatives of the Rothschild globalist empire?
Right. I mean, we saw there was a woman in the news yesterday. She was beseeching our Prime Minister, Bojo, to set up a no-fly zone, and she was very passionate and tears and stuff. And turns out she was one of the World Economic Forum proteges of grooming these young politicians for tomorrow. And she was one of Klaus Schwab's, young influence makers of tomorrow. So they're working hard on this. And as you say, it's all just, it's so much image and presentation that we hardly know. We don't really know what's going on, do we? Certainly not when RT is cut off. I think RT was the one, you know, fairly credible account of what was going on. And they've just been taken off the air today.
Right.
That is a major, it means that all the TVs are seeing, all the stations are seeing from the same hymn sheet, really, isn't it? They're all giving the Empire's point of view. So we're getting a very restricted perspective on what's happening.
I was slow to pick up on the wag the dog aspect, but I think you and Scorpio and Giuseppe have been right on top of this. That's exactly right. The propagandistic use of video, some of which is ancient, showed a Ukrainian soldier being crucified that turns out to be from this neo-Nazi brigade of Ukraine itself. I mean, there's a lot of horror stories coming out here that is fabricated to create a monolithic impression of what's taking place. Whereas you observed, Nick, RT being shut down, that's just the opposite of what should be taking place if there were interest in discerning the truth and sorting this out, which, of course, there is not on the part of the mainstream. No. Your point about this being a Klaus Schwab stooge is very telling.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, let's remember there's very deep history here, which us that are all probably quite ignorant. If you go back to the 9th century, Kiev was where the first beginning of Rus, what was called Rus, the peoples of Rus, which became Russia and also Belarus. It goes back to the original kind of nucleus was in this very area. So there's terrific ancient history of Russia in the Ukraine, in this area. This is a country, in Vladimir Putin's words, I think he said it's put together by Lenin. So it was given its modern borders. And also around World War II, it was a time of most frightful trauma, the Holodomor, was it called? About 7 million people were killed. So there was really killed. And so there's amazing horror, this part of the world, and trauma that has to heal slowly. It has to be allowed to heal. We have to go over what were the issues that really, who's responsible and so on, try to find some degree of sovereignty in this country that I feel America just came in a very glib kind of way. And America's interest is always how to break up Russia, how to get at Russia. I would say they haven't got a lot of real interest in the people of Ukraine, whereas other countries around it possibly do.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up. and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Nick, Mike Whitney has published a brilliant piece suggesting that the real target is not Ukraine, but Germany, that they were engineered to sabotage the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which would create very tight economic commercial relations between Russia and Germany. And if that happens and those relations improve, as would be inevitable under those circumstances, there's no use for NATO.
Right.
Expensive U.S. military equipment. The United States is left on the side with regard to European security because there's no need for these extravagant expenditures. I think he put his finger on the key. Your thoughts?
Totally, yeah. Absolutely, Jim. I mean, America saw, with this whole Nord Stream 2 pipeline, there was a grave danger of world peace breaking out. I mean, friendship between Russia and Germany is the one thing that America cannot possibly enjoy. Those two great nations, both heavily vilified and effectively damned by the axis of evil, Britain and America. If those two nations were to become friendly, and that's what would start to happen if the pipeline flowed, a huge source of natural gas for Germany at a low price, and Germany desperately needs it because it's abandoned its nuclear power plants, hasn't it, and closed its coal mines. And it's chased this pipe dream of green energy, which doesn't really supply very much. So it desperately needs this gas pipeline. And trouble is Germany isn't really a sovereign nation, okay? It's still occupied from the last World War with American troops, British troops, theoretically French troops and Russian troops. It hasn't, no peace treaty was signed. So it's very difficult for Germany, almost impossible, to reach sensible sovereign decisions in its own interest, okay? It can be very easily manipulated by Britain and America. And that's what's happening there. America did everything it could to stop the pipeline being completed. And now it's complete. They're figuring out how to stop it being used and switched on. And they said, oh, it's got to be checked and inspected and certified and everything. So that was all going on. And so I think, as you say, Jim, we should appreciate the timing of this whole new war, this totally brewed up, intentionally created conflict. First of all, it's to stop, as you say, it's to pressure Germany to stop it accepting the Russian pipeline. And there's also another feature I'll just point out, is the whole COVID narrative was just collapsing. We've had 2 years of this mad derangement of as if there's some dreadful new disease and you all need to get vaccinated. It really didn't exist, did it? It was just the flu. There was a danger, a whole lot of terrific backlash there. A whole lot of people being fed up, saying, hang on, why are we wearing all these masks all the time? And what's the point of these vaccines? And what are these vaccines anyway? I think there's a lot of danger of that. Especially in this country, there was no excess mortality this year at all, quite the opposite. And I think there needed some distraction, and we certainly got it. This whole thing suddenly switched over from bad, evil Putin, and COVID's gone off the headlines. So I think the timing, by what I mentioned before, in December and January, there was continual statements that Russia was about to invade. This was all timed and blueprinted. Germany's been put under this pressure now. American diplomats, politicians like Madeleine Albright, correctly understood if they could get this war going, then the Germany would not switch on the pipeline. As you say, a lot of people believe this whole thing was therefore brewed up very much in order to stop that happening, which is America's top priority. Yeah.
Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, Nick, I think you're hitting on some important points here. We can't overlook the timing here of, you know, just as the COVID narrative is collapsing. You know, isn't it amazing how we had, you know, 2 years of, oh, well, if you don't get the shot, you're going to die of COVID. It's extremely dangerous. Yeah. We have to shut down the economy because of it. Sorry, guys. And now it's like, oh, well, it's a bad case of the sniffles. Learn to live with it. Learn to live with COVID forever. It's no big deal, though. It's just amazing the switch that went on. And then at the same exact time, this war starts.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think we can overlook that and just, you know, dismiss it as coincidence. So that bothers me quite a bit, I just see a massive orchestration going on. And the other key thing you're talking about is the pipeline. I heard yesterday that the owners of Nord Stream 2 have already declared bankruptcy and fired all their employees, which I find to be awfully sudden. I mean, so quick to declare bankruptcy.
Amazing. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, everything we're seeing just seems to me to be a show and orchestrated, and this whole unity of the world against Russia. This is a show, and I'm just seeing that the governments that we are shown on television, really, it just seems to be for public consumption only, and the real power is behind the scenes. These governments are all toothless tigers, and there's something else driving the train here. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, bear in mind, that is the world's longest gas pipeline, isn't it? It was Germany that originally asked for it. Russia built it mainly, but it was Germany who asked for it. It's quite mad to build this absolutely vast pipeline and then politicize it as if gas flowing had some political implication or might change some political position, which it won't. I don't think it will really. So it is extraordinary the way it's being used. But it was very much the position of Britain before this war broke out, Britain was trying to persuade Germany not to switch it on, you know, because it wants. Britain has been working hard for to declare Russia as the enemy since, I think, about 2015 or 17, that they've actually actually declared Russia was an enemy, which is, we thought that was all over, you know. We thought that the Cold War was a thing of the past, of the last century. Why did it suddenly come back again? But it did. We got terrific demonization of Russia. We've had it about the last 5 years, haven't we? That suddenly it's, for no particular reason, it's the new end, and it gets accused of, Putin keeps being accused of things. That's, I think, rather not very sound.
Your point about the bankruptcy and firing the employees is just staggering, Nick. That means whoever was in charge in the position to do that was in on it. I mean, this is just disgusting. How would you be able to reconstitute the company under those circumstances? I find that very, very telling.
Yeah, right.
And it's awfully sudden, you know.
Much too abrupt, right? I mean, my presumption was the chancellor was just going to put it on hold until Ukraine blew over, and in a couple of weeks he'd go forward with a certification process, not that this was the end of the line.
Yeah.
So I think the timing is just incredible. Giuseppe, join the conversation.
I think that Scorpio and Nick are making the excellent point, and I would harken back to, we had Dr. Lorraine Day on the event going on a year and a half, and she said, well, you know, the fact that the scamdemic could shut down the entire world and lock down the entire world means that we already have globalist communist government, and that the individual nation state puppets are essentially dancing marionettes to the Rothschild tune. And it seems to me this is the same case, especially if you consider that financial usury oligarchs like to do is to put something out of business and buy it for pennies on the dollar. So somehow they are now trying to seek control over the Nord Stream pipeline. So that could be one possibility I'd like to get your thoughts on. The other possibility is that, if you recall, in the late 19th century, the Zionists of the day, Moses Hess, Theodore Herzl, declared a blood libel against the Tsar of Russia and against Kaiser Wilhelm of Germany because they blocked the effort by the parasitic Zionists to create their one world banking system then, and they swore that they would destroy those countries completely. And what are they doing, right?
So. Yeah, right. That's a good point. Yeah. Well, just to come back to what I was saying, the British Prime Minister in 2017, that's Theresa May, she declared at an EU summit that Russia had become the enemy and plans to designate Russia as a hostile state. And she was going to spend £100 million over the next few years to pursue this aim. So we've had institutions in Britain that are overtly Cold War to build up this demonising of Russia once again to sort of re-establish the hostilities. So I think Britain has had a key role, obviously together with America, in re-establishing this Cold War. But it's far, far more dangerous than it was before, because we've got all these NATO, all these little mini states joining NATO now. NATO's got about 30 different members, Russia, there's no kind of buffer between Russia and these NATO countries. Enmity, if NATO has officially got 30 members and officially got Russia as the enemy, this is a totally unstable situation, and there can't be peace in Europe as long as there is this situation. Obviously,
Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, warned today that a third world war would be nuclear and destructive amidst the country's invasion of Ukraine. I mean, Putin has been trying to signal how serious this is and how the West needs to back off and stop encroaching on its borders and putting all these missile systems there. And Americans don't seem to understand this is akin if communist China had missile batteries along our border with Mexico and again along our border with Canada. Americans seem utterly incapable of seeing things from another point of view, Nick. I mean, it's a parochialism that is just stunning.
But it is, yeah. They say what America really wants isn't as such nuclear war, although they did, to be honest, they did benefit greatly from the two previous world wars in Europe, and a war in Europe may be quite congenial for America. But they say that what America really wants is its posture of escalation dominance. That means that it can threaten and bully other nations by having enough missiles and military around them. So if it's got all these weapons on NATO soil near to Russia or around Russia, surrounding Russia, that means it can threaten Russia and bully it as it wants to.
And mind you, if there were a nuclear war, you could not do a better job of decimating Earth's population, which is the globalist agenda. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's going to come to that, but what I do see coming is this is going to set up, really slowing down the world economy. It's going to, greatly increase fuel costs. I mean, Russia produces something like a third of the global energy, gas and oil output. So if you take that off the table, it'll probably all go to China, of course. And I think this is what they're setting up too. They're setting up, the pieces on the board for a real world war. That's going to be, I think, several years off still. And, the third thing is we're going to have to go green now. We don't have enough, gas and oil. We have to go green because gas is $6 or $7 a gallon now. Russia is talking about retaliating by, various means, including, basically taking the dollar off the table as the world exchange currency. And if China goes along with that, we're going to see inflation like we've never seen before in the United States. This is going to be incredible. And they're also talking about, an embargo on minerals from, not selling minerals, industrial minerals to the West. So what are your thoughts on that, Nick? Because I see this a coming economic storm, and this all fits together very conveniently with the World Economic Forum's, model for a great reset by really slowing everything down, creating massive inflation and greatly, increasing this, shipping chain problem,
Right. Well, I'm afraid my crystal ball can't quite foresee the outcome there, Scorpio, but perhaps in a year or so we'll have a better idea. This is going to undermine everyone's prosperity, that's for sure. I'd just like to come back to this theater and instability in Europe that's developing now. For 30 years in Europe, the fear of nuclear war has gone away, okay? For 30 years, since around about 1990, people stopped being frightened of nuclear war, okay? And why is this coming back again? Well, the reason it disappeared is because something called the INF Treaty, that intermediate and range nuclear weapons, we had real diplomats in those times, real American and Russian diplomats who worked hard, and they got this treaty. And that INF Treaty meant that all the horrible intermediate range weapons in Europe, like cruise missiles and stuff, were cleared out, but the whole lot. And that means in Europe, we didn't have nukes targeting each other. That was the terrifying thing, because if you've got nukes targeting each other, there's only a very short response time, 10 minutes or something. Now, that treaty was allowed to expire in 2019. This is one thing the Russians have been extremely bothered about, and they're about the only people who are bothered about the expiry of these treaties, which gave us stability and security of the nuclear balance. Okay, so the reason people weren't frightened of nuclear war was because of that treaty being in place in Europe. So you only had the big strategic missiles threatening each other in Russia and America. Now, so that those intermediate range nukes are now coming back, I believe. I think America is putting them in Germany now on a very high speed rockets, and Russia will therefore have to target Germany. Just the balance of things, it will have to target Germany with nuclear missiles. And so you'll get this fear of nuclear war will gradually develop. In all this, I see Russia, Putin and Lavrov, as very concerned about the breakdown of these treaties, which brought stability. And the West just seems to want a machismo posture of blaming Russia. It doesn't really seem to be looking for stability. And let's bear in mind that NATO expenditure on military is at least 10 times Russia's. I mean, Britain has much the same military expenditure as the whole of Russia these days. So you can't possibly regard Russia as a threat. It's obviously the other way around. You've got a whole order of magnitude more military expenditure from NATO countries than you have from Russia.
Yeah. Giuseppe.
Well, I would like to get Nick's thoughts on the following scenario. I believe that Paul would support Russia, but Fall will support Ukraine.
Well, there's a picture behind me. You can see of the Fab Four.
I have the same picture on my wall, Nick, by the way.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather blow my logic circuits, except if I started to switch over onto that subject. Yeah.
I'll rephrase it. I just thought you guys would get a kick out of that joke. So my question is who benefits other than the one world government Rothschild crowd from this level of escalation and a possible World War III? I mean, how does Russia benefit? Why is Putin gone all in so boldly and, who benefits from this?
Well, it might be. He's just lost his marbles, and this is absolute power corrupting somebody. I mean, we get a terrifying picture of one old man apparently able to define the war aims of Russia. We don't get the impression of a cabinet that has to agree with him. Has he just gone too far? Is he just too enraged? I mean, that may be a very inadequate view, but that is the way it immediately appears.
Well, Nick, in the beginning, you were explaining how these provocations and the massive shelling and all that more than justified Putin intervening in Ukraine.
You
also added you think perhaps he's gone further than he originally planned or intended by taking the whole country, which may or may not have been part of the original agenda. So how do you reconcile those aspects?
Well, that is the puzzle. We're all bewildered by this. And the terrible thing is that him, as it, going too far, as your expression, going right across the country, means that all the media pundits don't have to comment about the original cause of this conflict, of a ethnic cleansing policy deliberate by a bunch of neo-Nazis. They don't have to comment, and they don't comment on it. They just talk about, let's stand with Ukraine, the poor people of Ukraine, against this evil Russian invader, who obviously megalomaniac wants to restore the Soviet Union or whatever. So the media people don't have to talk about the original cause of Russia coming in. That is the way it's working over here. And I feel it's so tragic that if Russia had stayed focused on its original limited aim, if only he hadn't said any other war aim, if only he declared his sole aim was to stop the bombardment of those republics and enable them to live in peace and rebuild their villages and towns, if only he said that was the sole aim, I think you would have had a lot more sympathy in the world instead of claiming that he wants to change the government of Ukraine.
Scorpio.
Well, you know, the other thing that's so fascinating about this conflict, and I have doubts about what's really happening. I want to see some footage of the 190,000 Russian soldiers, by the way. I want to see that because that's the size of a pretty decent sized city. Yeah. Where are they all? They're just like these ghost soldiers. There's not any footage of, you know, thousands upon thousands of Russian soldiers invading it. And I want to see some footage of that.
Right.
And well, the other thing I find fascinating, guys, is that all of a sudden the Western media is very concerned about civilian casualties, you know, which is legitimate in a sense. But, you know, after 20 years of smart bombs and, just glossing over basically like the million people, civilians that were probably killed in Iraq. Not one mention of that. Not one mention of all the suffering caused by the West from this. Now we're talking about war crimes and the crisis unfolding. It's amazing. You know, it shows you how this media, this, what I call the enemy war transmissions, known as the mainstream media, really, you can't rely on them for any reliable information. It's all spin. It's all lying by omission and the molding of people's minds.
Yeah. Well, perhaps if we come back in a month or so, perhaps we could be able to answer this, the great question that you're asking, Scorpio. Are there really these Russians in the country? Is it really happening? Is it just molded by the media? Perhaps we should come back in a month or so time to we'll be able to answer that.
That's a good attitude because there's, you know, I'm not saying I know for sure that there's no invasion, but I want to see some real signs of it. That's the problem I'm having. I think it's a good point, Nick. Let's come back in a month and see where all this is.
Yeah, and the other thing, as you say, it's incredibly racist the way the Caucasian Europeans, if they're inconvenienced, oh, poor people in the capital city in Kiev, oh, they're really frightened. Oh, Russians might be coming. And the actual extermination of people racially different is literally not mentioned. It's just not there. So this is incredibly racist. I mean, America is a country that always bombs people of a darker skin color. If you look at about 80 different countries bombed since World War II, only one of them was white. if I may just point that out.
Well, I'd like to thank Dr. Nick Kahlstrom. Next time, we'll have to hopefully have you for 2 hours, and we want you back soon.
Apologies. It's actually stopped the thing. Becoming this.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn,
tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we're going to open lines early for 540-352-4452 for those who'd like to call in. 540-352-4452. Giuseppe, do we already have a caller?
Hold on, Jim. Let's take a looky-look-see and see what we got. Yes, area code 207 is here.
Excellent. 207, join the conversation.
The person you're calling isn't accepting messages right now. Why don't
or
you text
not.
Them or try calling again later? Thank you for calling U.S. Cellular voicemail. Goodbye.
Because, her computer wouldn't handle StreamYard. She has an older. But let me just introduce one crucial issue. I mean, Biden obviously took advantage of the situation here to not address the calamity that has befallen the United States in the year that he has been in office, where 62% of Americans don't believe that Putin would have invaded Ukraine if Trump were still president, and 59% believe Putin invaded because he believed Joe Biden was weak. That's very plausible to me, but there's more going on here. Scorpio, your thoughts.
Well, guys, you know, I think the problem I'm having here is I want to see some footage of the 190,000 Russian troops. I mean, I think it's hard for people to wrap their head around, like, just how big that is. That's the size of a city. And the problem I'm having is I'm not seeing any footage anywhere that shows this. I mean, I'm seeing, you know, there's a few tanks and supposedly, you know, unarmed Ukrainians are just going up to the tanks and telling them, hey, go home. And you know, so this, I mean, you know, where are the 190,000 troops? I mean, it's certainly possible. I'm not saying I know for sure it's not happening, but, you know, where are they? And Jim, the other thing that really is bothering me here, they're showing footage of, you know, the Russians bombing, you know, cities and just blowing up, you know, buildings. But if you look carefully, there isn't a direct hit on the building. I mean, if you actually hit a building with a modern missile, it's going to level or at least partly level the building. What I'm seeing is, you know, minor damage and then lots of debris out front and then some burned cars out front. So I want to see some, you know, some footage that actually shows that there's a large scale invasion going on, because at this point it seems fairly theoretical, but what is real is the implications of the economy and fuel prices and sort of just it's going to have an incredible effect upon the lives of Europeans and Americans. That part is going to be very real, and I don't even see why Americans should give a damn one way or the other what's going on in Ukraine, quite frankly.
Well, you made a very telling point about the rapidity with which the Nord Stream 2 company disbanded, declared bankruptcy, fired all its employees. I mean, that's incredible. We're only talking about a few days into this. It's a massive project. It's been in the work for, what, some 5 years? And they're going to just pivot like this and abandon the whole thing? That just smacks a duplicity and intervention of the World Economic Forum, the Rothschild banking empire. I mean, that's just stunning, Giuseppe.
Well, it is. Yeah. And I think, Jim, we have to accept the possibility. I'm not saying I know this for sure. We have to accept the possibility that Putin is in on this show. I'm not saying I know that, but there is footage of Klaus Schwab saying that, you know, Putin was a young global leader in this program, and Russia did go along with the whole, you know, COVID thing. They made their own vaccine, had made people wear masks, they shut down the economy. And the problem I have with Putin's actions is the timing of it. It's just the timing is so perfect, right when the, you know, the whole COVID thing is falling apart, at least for now. It'll probably come back at some point when they need it. But the timing of it is just awfully coincidental, let's say.
Well, just yesterday, I did an interview with my friend Archie from Armenia, now residing in South Dakota, and he was portraying Putin as being a globalist, Putin being a puppet of the World Economic Forum, that this whole thing is to bring about the goals of the genocidal globalists. I can no longer write that out, that off, although it breaks my heart if Vladimir Putin turns out to be a scoundrel, when I felt he was a man of great honor and integrity. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
I thought Nick Kallstrom brought an excellent point to the table. And by the way, we thank Dr. Nick. And next time, which I hope will be soon, we'll have him for the full 2 hours. But what a brilliant guy. I love his books. I own several of them. And I think that he brought the key point up that if Putin was just looking to free Donbass and Luhansk, and which are naturally part of the Russian sphere of influence, and he stopped there and made a point, that would have made Putin the hero. But Putin is going way, way too far too quickly, and why? Where's the benefit to Russia? I mean, my God, they're just savaging Russia economically now, and vilifying them. And so why would he go along and push this so far so fast? It doesn't benefit him. It doesn't benefit the Russian government. It doesn't benefit Russian interests, which are all about oil and gas. And why did, like Scorpio point out, why did the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, the ownership collapse so quick? I mean, why didn't they wait a while and see what happens? None of this adds up to me.
Great points, Giuseppe. I totally agree.
Yeah, Scorpio, elaborate.
Well, none of it adds up. I mean, that's the thing. I don't have any definite conclusions. I have more questions than I have answers. And I'm not saying, you know, simple works, you know, sort of mocking me, saying, oh, I think everything's fake. No, I just want to see some actual evidence. I mean, there's cameras everywhere in today's world. Why isn't there any footage of the 190,000 Russian soldiers? I mean, that is, that's the size of a city, and the logistics you would need to move that many soldiers into an area is just tremendous. And like Giuseppe said, where is the big payoff? I mean, let's face it, whether you like Putin or not, whatever you think of him, he's a smart man. I don't see the benefit here. If you run the cost, you know, analysis here, there's no benefit. And, but what is really interesting is that if you take Russian gas and oil off the market, we're going to have to go green, guys, you know, and that makes sense. And the impact this is going to have on the economies, I mean, this fits right into the World Economic Forum global reset and this need to basically build back better. We have to destroy everything first. We have to shut the economy down. This is certainly a step in the right direction, isn't it?
Scorpio, you're so right, and that's right. Such a telling point. The effects would be catastrophic. I'm just grief-stricken at the very possibility that Putin is not the guy I thought he was. We do have a caller standing by, a very familiar caller, but we're always glad to hear from him. Paul from California, join the conversation.
Well, Jim, let me jump in one second because we know Paul is currently en route to Ukraine where he is going to dress like a woman in heavy makeup and put a daisy in the barrel of one of the evil Russians' guns. So thank you, Paul, for doing something for world peace.
I actually would have preferred and instead of but. So, for example, but we're always glad to hear from. Doesn't sound as nice as and we're always glad to hear from. So, okay, Fetzer, here we go. I got some marbles for your quest, even though I got news for you. They've already got all the marbles, and you're not going to get any. However, I will support you in your Don Quixote-like quest. I have $500 ready to go right now for your GoFundMe. I just want three things. Three admissions on the air and in writing on your website. One, Hitler was one of the greatest men ever. Two, we're not on a spinning ball. And three, nuclear weapons don't exist. Go ahead and just admit those things right now, and I will send that $500 to your quest.
I'm trying to agree with the verse. I think Hitler's got a bad rap, but the earth is a spinning ball, and nukes are bona fide. I wish, Paul, it weren't the case. But, you know, as a professor of philosophy, you earned a PhD in the history of science and the philosophy of science. The history of science is dominated by the history of physics and astronomy, and locating the Earth as a planet in space orbiting around the sun, where the sun is one of a, you know, minuscule number of billions of stars. I mean, I can't buy into pseudoscience and false belief, Paul. So while it's generous of you to offer, I couldn't possibly accept those contingencies. Giuseppe, your thoughts about Paul's proposed offer?
Well, before Giuseppe's reaction, I just want to say it's to your credit. You're a man of honor. You can't be corrupted. How about 10,000?
Oh, I couldn't under any circumstance, you know. I mean, I'm a guy.
Alrighty.
It's all the truth, nothing but the truth. And believe me,
all those things are true, in my opinion.
That Earth is even physically possible because of the laws of gravity.
Gravity's made up.
Celestial object is, of course, roughly spherical. I mean, you look at the odd shape of asteroids and all that, but they're exceptional in not being more rounded. Nevertheless, nothing in space satisfies the concept of a flat object in space. It's just not there, I'm sorry to say.
Well, and
I know people I respect, evidently including you, who hold that belief, but it's not scientifically sustainable.
I will just say this before we get Giuseppe's reaction. I would thoroughly enjoy a show where we had on three of the best minds, okay, such as Mike Williams, such as David Weiss, and such as Sophia Smallstorm. These are not stupid people. Ed Henry also, that would make it four. Ed Henry is a brilliant man. As you know, he wrote a book, 1,100 pages. It says something in there. There's some content to it. It's like what I used to say about Henry Ford's book. I said it's 900 pages. You think there's anything in there? So all I'll say, Jim, is things are the way they are. It's just whether we have grasped them yet or not. And I'll leave it at that. But, you know, I respect you. And I mean, I'm just trying to have some fun.
If we have so many of these low-level space flights now, no one who's ever been up in space holds any faith in a flat Earth. I mean, it's just nonsense. I'm sorry to say it is nonsense.
Scientific. I guarantee you that's the way it is. You just haven't grasped it yet.
It's completely untenable.
Well, let's not turn this into a conversation about flat Earth.
I agree. That was Paul's imposing these conditions on supporting my effort to get to the Supreme Court. Go ahead, Scorpio.
I'd like to hear, you know, Paul's thoughts on what's going on in Ukraine, and I want to know where the 190,000 Russian soldiers are, because I'm not seeing them anywhere. They're supposedly amassed on just outside of Kiev, ready to storm the city and take Kiev. Well, let's see some footage from all the satellites and, you know, and there's cameras everywhere. So where are soldiers, Paul?
Touché. You know, it's like the Pentagon, right, where there's cameras that were ringing the Pentagon. And what did they release, you know, as far as the plane that hit the Pentagon? And, of course, the timestamp was wrong. That was covered right away in Eric Hufschmidt's film, Painful Deceptions, I believe. I saw that immediately by 2002.
His early book was one of the best early studies of 9/11. And he was basically right across the board. So I agree with you there.
I actually looked him up and had a phone conversation. He used to live, I don't know if he still is, but he used to live down there in Santa Barbara. That's where I went to school. You know, here's the thing. Okay, we can't trust anything that we're told. I mean, that's our position. You know, the guest, Nick, said a very interesting thing among many is, I think it was the discussion about the, you know, the supply chain or the energy, you know, aspect. And he said, well, we're going to have to come back in a year and see where we're at. And see, this is the problem for us, you know, men of the West, okay, is we're just sitting around waiting to see what they're going to do next. And, you know, if you were to sum up all my calls going back to 2016, it's like, well, as Giuseppe has said, where are the warriors? You know, where are the men that are going to take it to them? I mean, that's all we need to do to win is just take it to them instead of just sitting around and waiting for them to take it to us and to play all these mind games and mount all these psychological operations, because they own and control all the media, right? All the flow of information except for the internet, and I'm sure they would love to get that. But they have owned and controlled the flow of information in the media for 100-plus years. Henry Ford talked about it, you know, and how their influence on publishing and Hollywood was, you know. I just recently listened to William Pierce again. You know, I do it periodically, even though I have a couple hundred hours into William Pierce. And he talked about this conversation that took place in 1972 between Billy Graham and Richard Nixon. And Billy Graham thought that this Jewish power was taking our country down the drain. And Richard Nixon says, boy, I believe you, but I can't say it. And you know, you can hear it if you want. It's online. And so Pierce made the point that, well, what do we have here if the president of the United States, who could take all these people out in a couple of nights, a couple of days, right? He could round them all up and he could do whatever he wanted to do. If he says, I can't say it, then what are we talking about? And this is in 1972. And by the way, about 30 or so years later, and I believe it was in 2001 or 2002, Billy Graham groveled and apologized for it. For something he said, you know, 30 years prior, you know, this is not any kind of a man. You know, we just need men to take care of this. I'm just tired of it. I'm sick of it. That's it for now.
Outspokenness about these issues, and you've been utterly consistent throughout. Giuseppe.
Well, Paul, I have a compelling offer for you. I'll agree to all three for $7,500.
You slut.
No, it's, you know, it's to me these days, and start with all three of you gentlemen, start with Paul, but it seems to me that it's just nothing more than PSYOP on top of PSYOP that are woven together like, you know, your grandmother used to, crochet an Afghan, a blanket. You know, it's just, you can't, it's impossible to discern what is true anymore. What do you think, Paul?
Well, you know, we can make our best guess, right? But in the end, you know, it's all, we're not there, and so it's all based upon what other people say. And you know, we can use the gift of perception that we've all been given. And some of us, you know, it's unfortunate what they're doing. I really do believe this, that they are killing our humanity, our God-given humanity, with all these weapons that they're using upon us. I really do believe, just like you say about the spiritual component, the perceptions and the level of intelligence that we would normally have is disappearing generation by generation. It's clearly a war upon us.
Right.
There's a guy on YouTube that made a great point. He lives in Kiev. He's an American. And this video was posted on Mammies or Mamies, however you want to say it. I'm sure maybe one or two of you saw it. But he talked about the fact that the awful, terrible thing that Zelensky's government has been doing, handing out AK-47s to people, because he's just going to get a bunch of people killed. I mean, not only are they not trained soldiers, but if you are a civilian and you got a weapon, what choice does a Russian soldier have but to shoot you?
Right.
And it just once again points to the nature that to the extent that this is real, it's all about getting Gentiles killed. I mean, if you look at the history of what's going on, it seems that freedom and democracy requires a lot of Gentile bodies filled with bullets and shrapnel. I mean, that's the Jewish formula for freedom and democracy. And, you know, there's not a bunch of Jews are going to be fighting on the ground in Ukraine and Russia. This whole thing just pisses me off and makes me sick. And again, it's just one of those things where we just have to sit here and, you know, allow other people like Fox News, okay, our great friend, the conservative Fox News, to tell us how, oh, we got to stand with the Ukrainian to fight for our freedom. And I actually heard one of those people talk about, well, what's to stop them from going to Warsaw? You know, unbelievable.
Oh, Paul, I agree. I agree. The nonsense coming out of a lot of Fox has just been embarrassing to me. Scorpio, with all due respect to Paul and his independence of thought, do you think it's reasonable to believe that nuclear weapons are not a reality, a very grim reality?
Well, boy. I'm little on the fence on that one. It's possible. You know, I wouldn't discount the possibility that's been overblown. I'm certain that nuclear power plants are real. But as far as nuclear weapons, I think they probably are, but I wouldn't discount the possibility that that's a hoax too.
Oh,
but I don't have enough information to have a definite opinion on that.
That's pretty dismaying, Scorpio. The history of nuclear tests and nuclear weapons is just devastating. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and beyond, all the Americans who've suffered the effects of nuclear exposure.
Yeah, well,
I encourage everyone. I think the most important film ever made was Stanley Kubrick's Dr. Strangelove. And
yeah.
But Jim, that doesn't prove anything.
At least once a year. We got another caller here, Paul. Scott from San Diego, and then we'll get back to Scorpio. Scott, go ahead. Join the conversation.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, I know you didn't want to turn this into a flat Earth show, but I just have two things. I've looked at Flat Earth, and I'm open to the idea. I'm not closed off. But there are two things that I feel that can't be really explained with that Flat Earth model, which is a lunar eclipse and the sunset that shines the clouds from the bottom.
Listen, there's a huge amount. I've done shows before on Flat Earth, and it's simply not productive in this context to divert ourselves. So, Scott, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I mean, the evidence is Aristarchus proved estimated the circumference of Earth and estimated it was circular in like around 300 BC. I mean, this is just ridiculous beyond words, in my opinion. If you actually study the history of physics and astronomy, you cannot adhere to a flat Earth theory, which, as I'm saying, does not even appear to be physically possible because of the laws of gravitation, that everything with mass attracts every other thing with mass. According to Newton's laws, it's going to generate round.
That's a false assumption.
Flat ones. And we have all the evidence from low Earth orbit. People are actually the mass of ships disappearing as they sail across the sea, the seasons,
None of those are popular arguments.
Day and night. Okay, Paul, we just can't go there. Scorpio's right. We don't want to devolve into that. We have much more important issues on the table, but I'm dismayed.
I know.
Anyone in this day and age would have doubts about the existence of nuclear weapons. If only. Giuseppe, your thoughts.
But Jim. Just for the fun of it, okay? I sent you a long time ago Miles Mathis' paper on thoughts. Trinity. You never read it.
Giuseppe, your thoughts.
I think that the flat Earth thing isn't really productive, and it's interesting and it's fascinating. And there are Paul's right. There's some brilliant people who have put a lot of time into it, and I you know, to me, it's more of an idea. I'm more interested in, is this a simulation? Are we like in some kind of consciousness thing? That seems more realistic than is the Earth flat or not. I don't think that's really where I put my time into it. And it's interesting that, okay. And the people who are dedicated to it really believe in it. I respect that and willing to discuss anything. But, that's really neither here nor there when we're looking at this, you know, some of the more front burner issues, which is we just got through 2 years of a mass genocide, death jab scandemic. And suddenly, I grabbed this, meme the other day, and now suddenly, COVID's gone and the sheeple are looking at the Ukraine, and it's just, I don't know, man. The power, I think the key point that Paul has is that where is the warrior class? Why are we putting up with this? Why does a sick subhuman who looks like Montgomery Burns of the Simpsons and his minions get to do all this? I mean, why are their heads still attached to their torsos is what I want to know.
Let me reiterate the calls we're taking. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Paul, we're coming up against a hard break. We'll keep you on, of course, and we'll take further thoughts from you when we return. Meanwhile, 540-352-4452. Giuseppe, just to squeeze that in, do you have any serious doubts about the existence of nuclear weapons?
No, I'm pretty convinced they exist. So yeah, I don't, there's a lot of these bright people who go down these rabbit holes. And, I think if you have nuclear power, you obviously have nuclear weapons. That's the whole reason for nuclear power is because they developed the weapons and then they figured out something to do with the waste product of creating the weapons. So yeah, I have no doubt.
We'll come back and we'll take further comments from Paul and Scott if he's there too, and others who are welcome to call 540-352-4452. McKenna has joined us right after this break.
Thank you, Jim.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Yeah. join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
I think it's like every other Jew hoax.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, for diversity of opinion, we've been joined by the mechanic, and I'm very glad to offer the opportunity for his thoughts on all these subjects. Please do share your observations and perceptions, mechanic.
Well, thanks for having me on, Fetzer, Scorpio, and Giuseppe. Listen, I sent a video to Giuseppe here about 5-10 minutes ago through Skype. Let me get this whining taken care of here. And it's, I don't know, it looks like 30, maybe even 50,000 troops, at the Chechen border right now.
Is this a globe, earth thing?
No, this is, the potential of World War III, Russian troops at the Chechen border.
No, I know, but is it global earth? Is the video, how are we perceiving it?
I sent it to Giuseppe. If you want to take a look at it, did I send it to Dave?
No, I have it. I can, let's see. Yeah. Let me.
Why just screen share it?
Just here, hold on. Here, I can play it. Yeah, I'll do it right now. Here we go. Okay. Yeah. So let me, here it is, courtesy of the mechanic.
That's quite a few soldiers there, Scorpio. Now I can't.
Yeah, but they're in Chechnya, right?
Right, they're in Chechnya. But I believe that the narrative behind this happening is to inform them of the future plans. I think they're
going to
be fighting the Russians.
Maybe so. We'll see. Anything's possible.
Well, there's a glimpse. Now you wanted a glimpse. There's a glimpse.
Well, yeah, but they're not in Ukraine, and they're not in Ukraine.
That's a fact. They're not in Ukraine, but you wanted a glimpse. And I am not in the position that I don't agree with Jack. Or I don't agree with a lot of these people. I think the CNN has completely lied to us. All these mainstream news is, of course, that's what they do. There is no full-on takeover of Ukraine.
Right.
The Russian stance here is that NATO has gone too far. They now, if NATO comes into Ukraine and they make a deal, there will be missiles pointed at Russia with inside of Ukraine. That's a problem for any country. It's interesting that they're using words like, Russia invaded a sovereign country. It's funny because isn't America a sovereign country and aren't we being invaded right now?
Yeah.
And they're doing nothing about it. So I wanted to bring that to the table. Also, Fetzer, just to let you know, man, when NASA puts in their website a couple of things. It's a very, very eye-opening. One, everything from space to CGI. Two, that they lost the technology to go back to the moon. These are things I find unbelievable. Yeah. Number three, I mean, I could go on and on and on. I don't feel like I'm spinning. You know, if you read the Bible, it mentions the fact, if you're a believer in the Bible and you just want to pick and choose what you want to believe in, you can't just dissect the Bible and say, okay, I don't want to believe in the firmament. I don't want to believe in the indefinite plane, but I want to believe in the rest of the Bible, Fetzer. That to me doesn't ring logical.
I'm not a Christian or a Buddhist or a Jew or any. I'm an agnostic. We, of course, did not go to the moon. I've done many exposés about our not 100%. Going to the moon. It was totally fabricated and fake, but it does from our incapacity to go to the moon because we didn't have the propulsion power, the computer power, the communication capacity that Earth is not round. All the heavenly bodies are round. I mean, it's just ridiculous to think Earth is the exception. This is getting back to the primitive idea that the Earth is a center of the universe and all the other heavenly bodies circulate around the Earth, which has been dispatched. I mean, I can't tell you how many generations ago. We're talking about several thousand years of research in astronomy and physics. Uh-huh. Earth is
well, let's keep the show on topic, guys.
I'm not going flat Earth. I'm not going to go flat Earth on Fetzer. I'm a flat Earther. Everybody at this radio station knows I'm a flat Earther. I'm not shamed because of it. I just go off of my instincts. I don't need to prove it to anybody. I can't prove it to anybody. And you can't prove to me that the world is round. I do want to go on to more important subjects.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, it is.
Because you've been right about everything else, Fetzer. You're right about Sandy Hook. You're right about Parkland. You're right about all the garbage, false flags that have taken place in this country that have put the diagnosis of hypochondriac on a good number of individuals walking this planet, not just this country. We are living and witnessing a cult of hypochondriacs, and now we have those same individuals who are wearing a mask immediately drop mask, drop COVID, see another shiny thing called Ukraine and say, I pray for Ukraine. Go ahead.
No, I'll take what I can get. I mean, I appreciate that much of agreement over all these false flags.
Jim, everybody, we've got some callers. Let's go to area code 231, your name and where you're calling from and what would you like to discuss?
Hi, Giuseppe. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Ken from Michigan.
Hey, Ken. How are you?
All right. Yes, the world's a stage, and the two cats that are in there right now are the Biden and Putin. And, you know, right at the back door of Russia, Putin's just defending himself. So, you know, I think the propaganda is outrageous. I was watching Saturday Night Live, and they have all these Ukrainian cars opening up for the cold open, and it was just so ridiculous to look at that, you know, and hearing everybody call Putin a bad guy when he's just defending his country, but they're making him seem like he's the aggressor. You know, and President Trump and President Putin would see eye to eye on this and not an eye for an eye like the globalist big brother, New World Order minion, Joe Biden. You know, I think Putin has said many things that the Jews ran the Communist Party and they control the media here in the United States. So Mike King wrote a book called The War Against Putin, and he respects Putin. He respects Trump.
I would love to see where he said the great one.
The great one. You know,
so
people die from lack of knowledge. People die from lack of knowledge. What did you say, Paul?
Information, false.
Okay, so I wanted to know where Ken saw Putin say about the Jews, because you can see photographs of Putin with a skull cap and a bunch of rabbis. You can, you know, see him shaking hands with Klaus Schwab. So it's like, I want to see where Putin said this.
He was talking to all the rabbis there saying that, you know, most of the Communist Party were run by the Jews. I saw it on the internet. See, I learn everything from the internet because once you learn, from the internet, you know it's contrary to the mainstream bullshit machine.
Sure, sure. I have not heard of Putin saying this.
The new piece by Joaquin Hagopian that I just published on my blog at jamesfetzer.org, where he has a video of Ukrainians who are dancing and celebrating because the Russians are liberating from the oppression of their Nazi government. Just take a look. We have another caller, of course. Bruce here. Bruce, join the conversation.
Well, it was 2-3 years ago when Putin actually came out and said, he made a statement, says, hey, it isn't Russians. It happens to be Jewish Russians. Jews in Russia causing problems over there. And this is all related to Trump and so on at the time. So you have that. And you know, how about that State of the Union address last night? Man, that was phenomenal, man. I mean, we had during the Trump years his Zionist Jewish speechwriters, and now we have the Bolshevik Jewish speechwriters. And man, what a comparison! You have the bloodlust that comes out of the speeches of the Bolsheviks when you had the hidden, you know, we're taking over your country and doing all these bad things behind your back, Zionist speechwriters. So you can tell the difference on the two. Regarding Ukraine, you know, we don't really know true narratives, but we go off of Russell Bentley. You know, sometimes I wonder which direction he's coming from, how this is a humanitarian effort. They're liberating Ukrainians, all the scum that's there, all the you know, the Victoria Nuland and all the neocons and all the oligarchs from the Clintons and the Romneys and the Bidens and any number of people around the world that are using Ukraine. Out of many countries, it's not just Ukraine they're doing this in, using it as a playground, stealing the resources, human trafficking, you know, just killing people at will, so on and so forth. So we have to believe that narrative in a sense. But, you know, as far as the troop movement goes, you know, you don't send all your troops. Oh, I got 190,000 troops. You don't send them all in one time. You send them in phases. They had phase, and the people saw the Z on the equipment. They said that Z stood for the, you know, the initial force that went in with older equipment, whatever. Then they had a V on the next round of equipment, which actually the equipment was actually newer and so on, to actually come in behind as a cleanup effort and organization. So they got troops on the standby. As far as those Chechens go, allegedly Putin, I double check all this part. Putin talked to the Chechens and said, look, you help us out, we're going to help, we'll help you establish, you know, portions of Russia to run as you see fit, as long as there's no terrorism and Islamic extremism and all this other stuff or whatever. So they're there to back them up in regards to the way this goes. The third point I want to make is, you know, all this stuff Paul suggests, why can't we just go into these countries? Why can't we kill them in our own country, United States, Canada, wherever, and round these people up? We're now witnessing what it takes, what kind of chaos occurs when you just try and round these people up. Is there a quiet way to do it, or do you got to come in with force the way they're doing it now? That's the question at hand, because we keep asking, well, if they know where all these people are, what they're doing, why don't you just go in and get them? We keep having all that Q narrative or whatever, the white hat narrative, where they're, you know, the power's going to go off, and during the power's being off, they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and they're going to get these people. But it never appears to happen. So, they, you know, we can see going with brute force is an example right now we're witnessing in Ukraine. If they tried to do this in the United States, it'd be just complete chaos.
Good stuff, Bruce. Scorpio.
Well, you know, I hear Bruce making some, you know, good points, I guess, but I still only sending a little people saying, oh, he's only sending a little forces in now. Well, where are they? I haven't seen any footage of even 1,000 Russian troops with guns storming into Ukraine anywhere. They're telling us that Russia is about to storm the capital of Kiev. Where are the troops? I just want to see some footage and then I'll believe it. Until I do, I think we're being played on a colossal scale here from both sides of the aisle. And it's so easy to get caught up in this dialectic where, well, you think, you know, George or Joe Biden is lying to us and the Western media is lying to us. And but Putin's telling the truth and he's not part of this. I just think we need to step back and consider that this is all a big shit show we're watching here. And we're going to be the big losers of all this. And it's clear to me how they set up a phony war, how they set up pieces on a chessboard. Oh, we have no choice but to go to war. Look, look what's happening. I just think we're being played on a massive scale, guys.
Well, I respect your
scale. We have every right to believe we're being played, but you know, listen, Russell Bentley, a heritage Texan, is on the ground there, been living in the Ukraine, has family in Ukraine, you know, married a Ukrainian, whatever it is. He's been doing reporting from there with other people. There's people from Mint Press News doing it. Giuseppe and I follow a couple of people on Twitter that are following this. So there is stuff happening on the ground there. Now, allegedly, whatever we want to think, Russell Bentley, how is he lying to us? We got propaganda from both sides. Is he lying to us as well as our mainstream media lying to us? So which side do we take? We got to take a guy that we think is being truthful with us, saying, look, they're liberating. They're trying to take out these bad guys. They got these cities surrounded and so forth. Do we believe him? Or should we just not to believe anything at all?
Well, hold on. I want to see some footage of some Russian troops. Until I do, I'm not buying anything.
We have like one or two.
I mean, if you believe it, show me the footage of the Russian troops, Brew. That's what I want to see, and I'll believe it. I want to believe it. I want to believe, but I don't see any indication that, first of all, Russell Bentley only knows what's going on in the two breakaway republics. That's a different issue. I think there is something going on there for sure. It could very well be a Ukrainian push to take those back. But I want to see supposedly Putin's, you know, invading the whole country, and there's troops amassed just outside of Kiev about to take the city. I want to see some proof of any of that. And I think we're being played, and we're seeing a wag the dog kind of war, so they can put all these restrictions on the economy, take the Russian oil off the market, and greatly increase fuel prices, greatly increase inflation, mess up the supply chain, and forces, oh, we have to go green now. Look at the horrible implications of the climate change with this war. I mean, it's all just fitting into a big script at this point. It's really frustrating for me because I'm not seeing any proof of any of this, yet we're all supposed to believe it.
Scorpio, you're making a powerful argument. Right. We have another caller standing by, area code 615. Please give us your name and your state and join the conversation, 615.
It's John Percent. How are you, Jim?
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, guys. What's up? So, yeah, I'm kind of with one of the other observations I made, Scorpio, is some of those bombed-out buildings they showed. I saw like three desks. I mean, if you blew apart half an apartment building, I would see a lampshade or a sofa. So I'm not buying the footage either. And then my second point, well, here's the other one, because, like, yeah, you guys know, I flip on the Fox News just to laugh or fall asleep, whatever. But, you know, they said this 40-mile convoy has been 7 miles from Kiev. It's not Kiev anymore. It's Kiev. They've been there for 48 hours. They haven't moved. Are you going to sit there and tell me Putin is so stupid that he didn't send enough fuel to keep moving that 40-mile train of equipment? I mean, really? I mean, that level of incompetence is something. And then the last thing is just this morning when I flipped on Fox and Friends, the guy had said that actor who's playing the president of Ukraine, his grandparents are survivors of the Holocaust. And I'm like, oh, you just got to be shitting me. I mean, really, you know, Bolshevik Russia's going against survivors of the Holocaust. This whole thing is just a circus.
Mechanic, your thoughts.
Well, I'm going to just jump in. That was a great call. Thank you.
Go ahead, Scorpio. Yeah. It was.
Well,
yeah.
Great call. And, yeah, I mean, you could say a lot of things about Putin. He certainly isn't stupid. And there's also reports that, oh, the Russian troops are running out of bullets. Oh, Putin forgot to.
That's a joke. Hey, by the way, let's add this to the mix. Isn't it reminiscent of our guy, I think his last name was Williams. He played two parts. He played two roles in Sandy Hook. One, a school teacher, and then later a third role, an FBI agent carrying around a sniper rifle with full tack and a package protector, right? What was his name?
David Wheeler.
Wheeler, right, David Wheeler.
Two-role grieving father and also a SWAT team member walking up and down Dickinson Drive carrying a weapon upside down by the magazine.
Yeah, by the magazine.
The lowest ranking Marine Corps private would know better than to do that. And his wife, Francine, was the personal assistant to a woman by the name of White, who was a finance chairman for the DNC. This was a Barack Obama operation, and he flew the Wheelers down to the White House to give a speech
100%.
About Sandy Hook from the Oval Office. Really quite extraordinary.
Yeah, Fetzer, listen, you'll be pleased to know that my three-year career behind the wheel of Uber and Lyft, that every time some college-level student or learner got in my vehicle, they got a dose of your information. My sent them your way. I would say, if somebody's in a bad mood, I would be like, hey, we can celebrate. What are you talking about? 'Cause this was right after Sandy Hook. I was driving for a Lyft from 2012 to 2015. And that was right during the epic time of the prime time of Sandy Hook premiere theatrical presentation, right? So, hey, we can celebrate. No kids died in Sandy Hook.
I love it.
And the look on their face, I would get letters from Lyft. Please keep all your conspiracy concerns to yourself. Yeah. You know, I got fired from Uber for sharing too many personal views. You know,
Danny, you just made my day. Mitchell has put a note here that's very telling. Russians remember Stalingrad and how it drove the collapse of the German army. Putin will use nukes before losing. I think
he's not going to use nukes. Even if nukes existed, he's not going to use them. There will be no nukes used. That's my prediction. I'm sorry. There will be no nuclear weapons used, if they existed.
We certainly hope not.
You know, Jim, let's just check with all the callers and make sure we didn't miss anybody. Is there anybody on the line that we didn't get to? Okay, I guess we got to all of them. I don't remember if we did
got
to.
We got 231, right? And we got
I'm here. Yeah, I think this Bruce, is a spiritual Mike,
hold on, hold on. That's Bruce from Texas. We didn't get to Bruce from Texas yet. Go ahead, Bruce.
No, we did. But go ahead, Bruce. Bruce from Texas. Go ahead.
Huh.
Disappeared. Brew, are you there?
No, Brew left. I saw Brew leave. So.
Okay, too bad.
I think it's a spiritual battle.
Okay. Is that Ken from Michigan?
Spiritual battle of hearts and minds. I look at Putin as a believer, an Orthodox Christian. I think Trump is a Christian.
He's not an Orthodox Christian.
And they're believers.
Remember.
They're, you know, hey, even the
How
demons
do you know?
Have Paul.
You do not
even,
know this.
Hey, if you don't,
Paul,
if you
let,
don't,
let
if
the
you
callers
don't
make
it,
their point, right, Paul. Sorry. Don't talk over the callers.
If you don't believe it, the fact is they believe it. This all comes out of Judaism. So, I do have the feeling that Putin is an Orthodox Christian. I know that Trump is. And that's why they're on the same page. And these other vampires and demons that are controlling the New World Order don't want that to happen. So even though they're demons too, I mean, they still fall to the Most High. You know, I mean, there are demons that know what's going on and aren't atheistical, anti-Christ Jews.
And they're taking out the underground layers too, Trump and the White Hats. They're going to come in and turn the country around in 2024.
The world is a stage. So the world is a stage, and this brings us back to the flat earth. And you can get to the same points of destiny from a flat earth or a globe. It doesn't matter. But the fact that the globe is going around a sphere of fire is a very peculiar state of circumstances, don't you think?
Yeah.
The universe. I mean, just look at the moons of Jupiter, for example, and you see.
Jim, please. You said you didn't want to turn it into that show.
Want to go there? Scorpio was wise to divert us from that path. So let's not.
Okay, but we do need to do a show with some serious people on it where we can actually tackle these issues instead of having you blast them.
The gate is straight, deep, and wide.
I'll go toe to toe, Fetzer. You know I will. But
up and all, Giuseppe.
Just quickly, really fast. I can relate to what the mechanic said about driving for Uber and Lyft, because I was driving a limo
in 2018, and it's boring if you don't talk to people. And so I indeed did run into problems too with expressing viewpoints.
Just check out Aristarchus of Samos, who in 300 BC established
it. That's been dealt with thoroughly and destroyed. It doesn't prove anything. That argument has been destroyed, just like Aristophanes.
Damn it. Give me a break. You right. Really shovel a lot of it, Paul. I'm sorry to say. Scorpio, come
on. Can't help it.
To our rescue, Scorpio.
Well, you know, you can have the Flat Earth Show with Mechanic. I just, there's something I want to get into on air. It is interesting. There's certainly flaws in the things we're being told about the Earth, no question, but it just always goes into a very argumentative place, and there's no end to it. That's the problem I have with it. But, you know, I think we're being played in, you know, it's funny how we're supposed to believe all these characters. Well, Putin's a Christian. Well, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't know. Trump is a Christian. Well, all of his family are Jews. They're all, you know, he's Jews. So, you know, I'm really getting to the point where I think all of these
Jew can convert to Christianity, but a Christian cannot convert to Judaism. Because you have to renounce Jesus Christ and worship saints.
Correct. They will still need to deport him.
Talmudic Jew? Is that your point? To be a Talmudic Jew? As opposed to a Torah Jew? Yeah, I mean, you know, even among the Jews, Christ was a prophet. I mean, it wasn't that he was, he may have been crucified, but that was really the Romans doing. Principally,
if the Jews believed on the Lord Jesus, they would be saved. And if they didn't, they became Antichrist and stuck to their own evil ways.
Giuseppe, we have about a minute left. I'd like for you to give us kind of a summing up here, if you would, for a very interesting, contentious second hour following a masterful first with Nick Kohlerstrom, whom we must have back again soon.
Well, what's that famous quote, Jim? It's a mystery wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a riddle. Yeah. I think that we're seeing psyops on so many levels, and I really salute Nicholas Kohlerstrom, Scorpio, and all the callers. We're all adults. We can talk about anything, and that's the point of free speech. And so, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinions because it's like what's that old saying? Opinions are like everyone has one.
The one and only Billy Shears.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Omava, this is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle, live Friday 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.